Thank you, Janice. I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to John, reading from the 15th chapter. And Jesus is speaking with his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And let us join together for a moment of prayer. Oh, Holy God, we thank you for the gift of this day, for this Sabbath day that you have called us together to worship you. And we ask, O Lord, that you would be present now in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our Redeemer, our Savior and our friend. Amen. The writer Henry Mitchell once visited a region in California that is home to some of the world's finest vineyards. His eye was caught by rows and rows of vines that had been just pruned. It was depressing. All that was left of the once beautiful grapevines were rows of ugly-looking stumps and a few runners stretching from each of those stumps. It looks disastrous, Mitchell remarked to his guide. Don't worry, the guide replied. We do that for 3 years to every vine. We cut it back before it's allowed to yield any fruit. For these vines, this was the third year. Just wait a few months and you will see grapes nearly as big as ping pong balls. Now, that's an image to get your mouth watering. Grapes as big as ping pong balls. I've never seen grapes that large. But there's a lesson in there for us as well. No pruning, no cutting back. No luscious-looking fruit. Jesus, in the gospel lesson this morning, is in the middle of his farewell discourse to his disciples. He's in the upper room, and he's reminding the disciples that he will not be with them for much longer. And he wants to give them some parting words to help them to know how it is that they are to be after he's no longer physically present with them. And in this short passage from John 15, we learn two things. That they are to stay connected to Christ, and they are to bear kingdom fruit. Stay connected to Christ and bear kingdom fruit. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Eugene Peterson, in his translation of Scripture in the Message, translates these verses this way: live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. Make your home in me. Abiding in Christ is therefore not just a casual relationship, it's an intimate connection to make room in your heart and in your life for Christ to move in, to take up residence, to share your everyday activities. Abiding in Christ requires constantly a renewed commitment to follow the ways of Christ. Christ is not a house guest that can be easily ignored. Christ instead is a roommate that you cherish and you include in your decisions. Abiding in Christ offers us joy. It offers us rest and security. It offers us comfort and guidance. It's in the midst of the faith community that we learn best how it is that we are to abide in Christ. In worship, in Sunday school, in Bible study, in small group opportunities, we learn about that relationship with Jesus Christ. And we learn best how to maintain that relationship, how it is that we can stay connected to that true vine. Much of what you hear here is to strengthen that connection, to make it a growing connection, to keep it real, to keep it alive. But in truth, that's only part of what Christ expects of his disciples and his followers. It's not enough only to be connected. Abiding is not just the end of our faith story. Abiding is truly the beginning of what it is that we are called to do. Jesus says that God, the vine grower, removes every branch that bears no fruit, and even branches that bear fruit, God prunes in order to make it more fruitful. It's about bearing fruit. Of course, in a vineyard, you know that the best grapes are produced closest to the central vine. That's where the most nutrients are. And those lateral branches are not allowed to ramble all over the arbor. They are pruned and kept short so that they remain connected to the source of life. The secret to bearing fruit, then, is truly to stay connected to the vine, to stay connected to Christ. And as I said, abiding in Christ is really just the beginning of the story. The story continues with our fruitfulness, our productiveness. It continues to go on as we are able to bear kingdom fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. It's that producing that really is the continuation of our faith story. Truly, that's what Jesus expects of us. Not just that we are intimately connected to him, but that connection makes a difference. That it makes a difference. We are here to be nourished so that we can bear fruit. We are here to strengthen that connection so that we can make a difference in our homes, in our communities, and even in the world. We need to ask ourselves daily, if I'm connected to Christ, if I truly abide in Christ, where is the fruit? Where is the fruit? Where am I making a difference? Is our home a better place because we abide in Christ? Is our congregation a better congregation because we are closely connected to Christ? Does our being connected to Christ make a difference in this community and in the greater community? The question daily needs to be, where is the fruit? It's so easy to get comfortable abiding in Christ. It's easy to forget that we are called to bear fruit, that we are called to make a difference, that we are called to love and live as Christ loved and lived. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm also guilty of that. I'd rather live in the comfort of God's grace than to be challenged to move outside of that comfort zone in order to share that love out in the community. It's easier for me to grow deeper in my faith than it is to reach wider. And maybe that's true for some of you as well. It's too easy to be comfortable just connected to the vine and not worry about bearing fruit. We gather and we're grateful for the wonderful gifts that Christ has given us. We're thankful to God for the gift of Christ himself. But we are reluctant to use those gifts to bear fruit. Think for a moment about the gifts God has given you, and think about how you're using those gifts. We need to think about how we use those gifts beyond Sunday morning and into the week ahead, but think for a moment about how you use your gifts here on Sunday. I'm sure your gifts are not just to sit in the pews. I'm sure you have gifts greater than that. If you can sing, you belong in the choir. If you can count to four, you belong in the bell choir. How many of you can count to four? Sometimes. You belong in the bell choir. If you love people, you could be a greeter. If you like to read scripture, you can be one of our scripture readers. If you like to bake, you can help with coffee hour. There are a myriad of ways that you can bear fruit just here on Sunday mornings. And then expand that and think about the ways you could bear fruit during the week. God has gifted us with marvelous gifts, not to keep to ourselves, but that we might bear fruit and that we might make a difference. Jesus is very clear in this. You are to stay connected to Christ and you are to obey Christ's commandment to love God and love others. Loving God and loving our neighbors is intertwined. It's love that flows from the vine into the branches, and it's love that encourages us to be fruitful. And love, in fact, is the fruit. In that epistle lesson to John that Janice read for us this morning, John, the author, is making the point that God is love. We know that this is a letter that's being written to a divided congregation. There are all kinds of schisms and differences happening in this fledgling group of disciples. And the author writes to everyone who would hear this letter, God is love. God is the author of love. All that God has done and continues to do is out of love. God creates because of love. God makes covenant promises to his children out of love. God guides us with laws because of love. God gave his only son because he loved us that much. And Christ became love incarnate. And because of love, Christ endured the cross. And if we are to abide in this love, we have to live it out. We have to live not just the belief in love, not in some abstract conceptual way, but we have to live it out in reality. It's not enough to merely remember that Christ sacrificed his life for us, and it's not enough to just think about it and even be moved by it. We must live it in concrete actions, actions that bear kingdom fruit. To know the love of God is to live the love of God. Julie Kennar, in a sermon based on 1 John, says this, love moves us beyond our resentments, criticisms, and jealousies. Love calls us to let go of our long-standing grudges against those who may have slighted us, who disagree with us, who don't do our bidding. Love melts away our impatience, our indifference, our self-centeredness, and yes, even our denials and betrayals. Love transforms us. We are rooted in God's love, claimed as God's beloved sons and daughters, and named as Christ's friends. We are called to love one another in the same way that God loves us. This love is agape love. It's love that expects nothing in return. It's love that shares the best with others, knowing that it may never be reciprocated. 1 John reminds us that perfect love, God's perfect love, can cast out all fears. In reality, it's fears that keep us from sharing those gifts. In fact, it could even be fear that keeps us from bearing fruit. Fear keeps us locked within these walls and afraid of the community around us. Love keeps us rooted in our pews, refusing to give our best selves to others and back to God. The fruit of fear is often suspicion and mistrust. The fruit of fear does not help the branches to grow. Fear keeps us locked in our old ways, locked in our upper rooms. 1 John reminds us that God's perfect love casts out all fear so that we truly might bear kingdom fruit. Doc Hammarskjöld, who you might remember was the well-respected Secretary General of the United Nations until his death in September 1961 in a plane crash, and he was a great man of faith. After his death, his private journal was published under the title Markings. And 2 months before his death, he included a prayerful petition that we might live in God, that we might love as God loves. And this is his prayer. Give us a pure heart that we might see thee, a humble heart that we might hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, and a heart of faith that we may live thee. A heart of faith that we might live thee. Jesus calls us to abide in him, to abide in that vine, to be the branches, but not only to be connected to Christ, but that we might bear kingdom fruit. Jesus reminds us, I am the vine, you are the branches. Amen.